All right, if y'all would turn with me to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Lord, thank you for allowing us together once again. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for wonderful Sunday school, wonderful songs we've had this morning, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you be with each and every one of us as we go through this service this morning, Lord. Just bring through me the message that you'd have brought. Let it be received the way it needs to be received. And Lord, let me not get in your way. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Everybody in the world has faith in something. Each and every one of us has faith that whenever we put in however many hours of work every week, we're going to get a paycheck. We have faith that that paycheck is going to be correct. It's going to get compensate us appropriately. It is what builds our faith too is when those things come to fruition. We see the longer we work for a company, the more we have faith, the more we know and can feel confident in saying, "Hey, payday coming, I'm getting a check, and it's going to be appropriate to what I get." Before we go any deeper in that, let's just read on a little bit here into Hebrews 11. Says, we'll just start at verse 1 again. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. We have faith that Genesis 1 is true. That what is recounted there is what happened. God created all things out of nothing. You know, there are people out there that don't believe in God. And it takes, to me, almost a greater faith, amount of faith, to say that a boom or whatever happened and caused everything to evolve, and we are here now because of all of this evolution and everything else, that there was no greater being that had a hand in any of that. That, to me, takes a lot more faith to look out there and say, this planet is at the perfect distance from the sun to sustain life. All of the things we have on this planet, I mean, if you look at anything, look at us, look at our bodies, the more you, like, you know, doctors, and I don't see how doctors and scientists and everything else that study the human body can look at that and say, all of this, if there's just one little thing, one little line of chromosome, one little line of DNA that's just slightly off, you get something completely different. Continuing, it says, "By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks." We all know the story of Cain and Abel. They were the first children on earth. They were the first children of Adam and Eve. Cain was a man who tended to the ground and grew crops. Abel tended to livestock and kept sheep. And when it came time to offer, bring an offering to the Lord, Cain brings an offering from his produce of the field. Abel brings an offering from his livestock, from his lambs, and God prefers Abel's offering. And I don't think it has anything to do with what they brought. It had to do with how they brought it. We see many times throughout the Bible, God talks about, the New Testament talks about, many different times about God does not, it's not about what you bring, it's how you bring it. God says He does not seek our sacrifices. He does not desire our offerings. He desires our heart. I think Abel came to Him with a full repentant heart and said, "Here, God, this is my thanks to You." And I think Cain, you know, I was listening to a podcast this week or last week, and they were talking about the story of Cain and Abel. And it never really hit me. I'd never really thought about this before, but it kind of hit me when they was talking about it. Cain didn't just all of a sudden decide, "I'm going to go murder my brother." Cain had, he had to have had some resentment toward his brother already. He didn't just all of a sudden say, "Okay, well, God didn't like my sacrifice. He likes Abel. My only choice is to go kill Abel." There was some resentment there already. Let's actually turn back there for a minute. Genesis 4. Go to Genesis 4, starting in verse 6. This is after the offerings have been made. It says, "So the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at your door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it.'" The Lord's telling Cain, He says, "Why are you angry? Because you are... Why are you angry at me for your sinful behavior? I'm telling you, you have this sinful thing. Go take care of that. You need to rule over that." But instead of ruling over that, Cain goes out and he murders his brother. And you know, the Lord comes to him and he says, "Abel, where's your brother?" Another thing, you know, they pointed out that I'd never really thought about. But you know, when God asks a question in the Bible, it's not because He doesn't know the answer to it. He already knows the answer to the question He's asking. He's wanting to see what your answer is going to be, though. Abel had faith going to God with his offering, with his heart in the right place, that God was going to accept this offering. Cain did not. Cain went to God, and again, I don't want to try to read too much into something that's not there. But I think Cain went to God with an unrepentant heart. He went to God more out of a, "This is an obligation I have to go do." Right. He didn't go with a, "I want to go and give this to my God, to my Lord, because He has given so much to me." Part of our having faith is having our heart in the right place. Having our, the things we do, the things we give to God, we don't do it out of an obligation. We do it because we're so thankful to the Lord who has given us the things we have. Continuing on in Hebrews 11 here, verse 5, it says, "By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Enoch was one of those Old Testament people, one of the Genesis people, one of the people that were around before Noah. And we know, you know, reading the story of Noah, how those people became. They became very evil. And Enoch was such a righteous man that the Lord took him away without him seeing death. He just came and got it. And it says here he did that because Enoch was so faithful. To come to God, first of all, we have to believe that he's there. And to please God, we have to have that faith. We have to have that faith that Enoch had. We have to have faith that what we ask, the Lord is going to give to us. We have to have the faith that God rewards those and he takes care of those whom he calls his own. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. As we, again, during the story of Noah, we see the world has become increasingly evil. And there is, the Lord picks out Noah and says, Noah is the one guy who I'm going to save. He's the one guy who is righteous enough, faithful enough to me that we're gonna save him, and we're gonna just do a hard reset on the rest of it. Noah had to have a lot of faith to even start building that ark. I mean, at this time, if you read through Genesis up to that point, you see at this time there wasn't even rain. Like, rain was not a thing. The earth was watered basically by dew, would be my assumption. It was basically water that came up out of the ground and watered everything. So Noah's being told, hey, I'm about to, you know, God tells him, hey, there's going to be water coming down from the sky and it's going to cover everything. The amount of faith it would take to say, okay, I believe what you're telling me. I'm going to build this big old boat you're telling me to build. It is just... To me, I don't think I don't think a lot of us would have that amount of faith. And I don't think we fully understand the amount of faith it would take to say, you know what? That sounds reasonable. I'm going to go do that. On top of which, he also, I'm sure, had people coming around, his neighbors and everybody else, and being like, what are you doing? I mean, it took him 120 years to build this boat. So for 120 years, got people coming around being like, what are you doing? There had to have been times where that faith was truly tested with Noah as he's building this boat. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. It seems like we talk about Abraham a lot, but the faith he would have to have as well. He's having God is telling him, first of all, I know your wife's barren, but she's going to have a son, and from him your descendants are going to be more than the stars in the sky. And Abraham stayed faithful to that. He said, okay. And he continued even up until his, you know, he was 100 years old whenever Sarah finally had Isaac, the son of promise. The amount of faith it would have to continue to say, okay, I believe you. And then, you know, if you read on, we're just going to kind of skip reading on it, but if you read on in Hebrews here, it talks about the faith he had to take Isaac when God told him to go sacrifice him. And he didn't even question it. He said, okay, we're going to do this because I believe when you said that this is going to be, there's going to be, you know, more descendants than the skies of the star from Isaac here, but you're telling me to go sacrifice him. I know you got a plan, but we're going to go do it. We're going to go do what you're telling us to do. Skip with me down to 32. It says, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promise, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves and of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. We talk many times about the Old Testament and how we see in the Old Testament the failings of mankind and how Israel, time after time, turns away from God. But I don't think we talk enough about, even during those times, there was also the faithfulness to God. We see, because during those times there's still prophets and men and women of great faith that persevere through those times. And we see, you know, Hebrews 11, it talks about Moses and Joseph and Isaac and all and Israel and all of them. Talks about even Joshua, and talks about Rahab. And all of the faith they showed, and the things that came from that faith. And then it says, you know, we can't even continue. The story would be too long if we talked about everybody that showed us this faith. We can look. Now, obviously, the writer of Hebrews was writing this to the Jewish people to testify to them, to spread the gospel. And so they would talk about the Old Testament because that was the only Bible, the only scripture they had at that time. But if you even look, you should go back and you look through the New Testament. There's so many stories of faith. You see the blind that are healed and the lepers that are healed and the demon-possessed that are healed and all of those that are healed because they have faith. Each time they go to Jesus and they're healed, He says, you're healed because of your faith. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 11 is sometimes referred to as like the hall of faith or the chapter of faith, the book of faith, because it talks so much about faith and the faith that people have had. Again, on a podcast I heard, they were going through, kind of talking about Hebrews 11 one time. And they said that what they've done is they go through and each time somebody in their life that had a great faith dies, they kind of write them there in the margins of Hebrews 11. And I've started doing that myself after I heard that. I'm like, boy, that's a great thing. Because the thing about it is we have the Bible that shows us the faith. But we have real life people around us every day that lives with great faith and shows us that example. I don't have a lot of people wrote down in mine. I had my grandma wrote down in mine because she was so full of faith. There was never anything that was too concerning to her. She worried like, you know, grandmas do. But at the end of the day, she knew the Lord had everything under control. She was such a great witness and such a great example of faith. I have in here my Aunt Peggy and my Uncle Junior. My Uncle Junior died last year. Aunt Peggy was his wife. She died about 10 years ago. She died of pancreatic cancer. And even throughout that, even whenever it was getting, you know, where it wasn't looking very, like it was going to be very hopeful, she continued to have faith and have hope and talk about Jesus. And even the doctor said, I've never seen anybody be so, like, unconcerned about it. Be so faithful about it. We have in the Bible, we have all these examples of faith. In our own life, we have all these examples of faith. And yet, we forget those things sometimes. Life gets busy, life gets hectic, like things, you know, start concerning us that are really nothing, and then we start getting distracted, and our faith starts wavering. There's no need, there's no reason for our faith to ever waver. The Lord tells us there's going to be challenges during this life. That's expected. So when those challenges come, we should say, okay, this is just one of those things. He also tells us He's going to bring us through them. He also tells us that we're going to overcome. He tells us, no matter what happens here, as long as you're faithful, then the next life is going to be, you know, it's going to be great. We go to God asking things and praying about things. We bring, you know, bring our prayer requests before the Lord. And, you know, like I've said before and we've preached before, sometimes the answer is no. And that's okay. And sometimes He answers prayers in the way we aren't expecting. It's maybe not the way we wanted it answered. The fact of the matter is, He answers prayers. But we have to go to Him faithfully, go to Him believing the Lord's going to take care of this. Whenever we go to Him half-heartedly, we don't fully believe that He's going to take care of this, we don't fully believe He can take care of this, then He's not going to. I mean, He tells us, go to Him in prayer, asking, in faith, believing. I think it's easy. I don't know. It's easy. I think it's easy no matter what time period you're in to say this, but I think it's easy to get distracted and to get worrying about other things and to get It's easy to lose that faith because there's so many things we can do for ourselves that we don't need to go to the Lord for. There's so many things that, oh, I'm hungry? Okay, I'm going to go down to the grocery store and I'm going to get me something to eat. There's so many things we don't have to worry about and don't have to rely on God for that it's easy when it's time, when it's something we should be relying on Him for, to go to Him half-heartedly saying, you know, I'd like for You to take care of this, Lord, but, you know, it's whatever. We need to go to Him full of faith, fully believing that He's going to take care of it, and fully understanding that no matter how it gets took care of, it's the way it needed to get took care of, because that's the way the Lord took care of it. If y'all are stand, musicians, come on.